This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so we got the Knicks and the Pacers tonight. And I'm all in. I'm all in on the Knicks. I'm all in on the Rangers. I'm all in on the entire NBA playoffs. It's so exciting to me. I mean, you want to watch every single game. You got Anthony Edwards doing his thing. You got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doing his thing. Watching Kyrie Irving in the third quarter yesterday of that game, he's magical when he's on the court. We have the Knicks on this magic ride. We have the Celtics that look like they're the prohibitive favorites to go all the way. A lot of stuff going on. Rangers up 2-0. But the NBA is embarrassing itself in a sense. So Jamal Murray, during the second game against the Timberwolves, that was in Denver, you know, was frustrated, threw a towel on the court, and then also threw a heat pack on the court. The officials didn't see it. The referees didn't see it, so they couldn't call anything. But it was obviously on video, so you could see that he threw it. And the heat pack almost hit the foot of Karl Anthony Towns. So who knows what could have happened. It didn't happen, but who knows what could have happened. So we all thought, I think I speak for Don and Peter, that he should have been suspended. Just the way Joel Embiid should have been thrown out of the game when he grabbed the feet of Mitchell Robinson while he was in the air and Joel Embiid was on the floor. But they don't want to do anything to stars. They don't want to affect games. So what they've done, the NBA, this time on Jamal Murray, is they fined him $100,000. So you're telling me that Jamal Murray did something so egregious as to be fined $100,000, but not enough to be suspended from the game. The NBA is embarrassing itself in its transparency to bend over backwards for its stars. If you did something bad enough to be fined $100,000, you should not be playing in Game 3 in Minneapolis. I'm sorry. It's a terrible look. Is that what you were thinking, Don?
Yeah, it's, now you just know the stars are untouchable. Now, I had a back and forth with somebody on Twitter the other day. Well, how do you explain Draymond Green? I don't know if Draymond Green, at the time he did it, was a star at the level of Embiid and Murray. He was an important player and certainly cost him the series back then. But do you think they would have done that to Curry if he had kicked somebody?
Who's Spud Murray? It's awful.
You've been waiting for that, haven't you?
Every time he says Murray, it's awful.
So, am I wrong? Because or did they? Obviously, they got it right suspending Draymond Green. But Draymond Green, as important as he was to the Warriors, wasn't at the level of these stars that apparently can get away with injuring a player and then throwing things on the court.
The Jamal Murray one's weird to me too, because I'm sorry. Maybe this will prove out to be wrong. Maybe we'll find out later tonight. I think they're getting swept. I think that towel and heating pad was it was more than a metaphor. It's what's happening. It was them throwing in the towel. So I'm a little surprised that they don't just go with the suspension on the fact that they're looking so bad and down 2-0 anyway. You might like it would be one thing. I can see the decision being harder. Hear me out, Michael. If that was Game 6 and it happened at the end of Game 6 to tie things at 3 apiece and we're heading to a Game 7, I could see the decision being harder to suspend. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be, but I would get it. We don't want everyone to just talk. But Game 3, after losing 2 at home, they can't suspend him for something that everybody agreed? Even Draymond Green, in trying to defend a fellow erratic NBA player, said, wow, that was dangerous. You really could have hurt Karl Anthony Towns. I'm surprised.
It's a bad look. The NBA's embarrassing itself. If you're going to be corrupt, corrupt has to be in the shadows. It can't be out in the light of day. And this is almost corrupt. You cannot tell me if some, like, Shake Milton tonight does the same thing. He's not going to be suspended. Because he doesn't play for the Knicks. So Jamal Murray's a big part of the Nuggets. They're the defending champions. And you're going to allow that to happen. You know how much he's making this year? If you want to round it off, okay? Making $34 million. Yeah. So if you want to take out Uncle Sam's cut, let's say he gets $18 million take home. $100,000? What's that going to do to him?
Hey, what would that be in, like, common wealth, right? So for a guy that's out there that makes $100,000 a year, how much would the fine be? so that people can relate to it as they're driving
home. Peter's salary. That would be like finding Peter $5.
So it's not moving the needle financially for him. Now, what's interesting is that you bring up like an average player or a role player doing that. Considering what they the benefit of the doubt they gave Embiid and Murray, wouldn't you have to do the same now for the role player? Wouldn't it be admitting that you're catering to the stars if you suspended a lesser player at this point?
Well, it brings up a perfect point. A lesser player is Patrick Beverley. How has he not been publicly rebuked by Adam Silver in the NBA? He threw a ball at a fan.
Twice.
And then completely made an ass of himself in the post-game interview. How is that not already being addressed?
And he's basically, with all due respect, if not for the trouble he gets into, kind of a nobody at this point. He's a journeyman. He's been on four teams in 2 years, and he can't even get in trouble. By the way, if you're wondering, it's about 0.3% of his salary.
Yeah.
So it would be like, you know, someone who makes $100,000 a year getting find $300.
Yeah, right. I think Anthony did the math. If you made $85,000 a year, it's a $235 fine.
Now, the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department is investigating the incident between the fan and Beverley. An IMPD police report from May 2nd confirms that an off-duty police officer witnessed the interaction and that the department is now investigating. And the NBA sitting there on its thumb? We all saw it. What's there to investigate? He threw a ball at a fan. I don't care if the fan said the worst thing at him. And it wasn't the fan who said it. The thing that a fan said was what? Boca on three or something like that? Cancun on three.
Cancun on three, yeah.
And really? So the NBA has to investigate that? He threw a ball at a fan. I don't want to jump Adam Silver here. I don't think this goes on with Stern. I just don't. It almost seems sometimes like Adam Silver is afraid of the players. David Stern would have suspended Beverley. He would have suspended Jamal Murray. He would have.
But you know, unfortunately, this goes, it's not just about the league. It's probably the television networks, right? Like, you're killing me. You're taking a series away from us. You're taking games away from us.
So, but then you're giving carte blanche to any player.
Michael, I'm with you. Because at the end of the day, if I'm Adam Silver, I go, don't talk to me. Talk to Murray. He's the one that threw it on the court. Talk to Embiid. He's the one that injured Mitchell Robinson. Like, why does it have to fall on the league for being the bad guy for doing the right thing? Why don't you point at the player that did it? Who throws things on the court? Honestly, I mean, come on.
You are a gutless puke.
The level of immaturity, the fact that somebody could have gotten hurt, and you're going to sit there, well, we don't want to affect the series. We don't want to affect the ratings. Well, all right, we don't want to do it either, but unfortunately, look at the player. The player is the one that did it. Ask him why.
All right, let's move on to the Knicks now. More importantly,
can we celebrate? I don't want to talk about this negativity anymore.
This is your Knicks playoff preview brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
Whoa.
Scout your next teammate with ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I'm excited. The Knicks have a little bit of a setback, losing Mitchell Robinson for the rest of the playoffs. But I don't think in this series it's a huge setback, and that's not anything disparaging toward Mitchell Robinson. I think Precious Achiuwa is probably better suited to cover a guy like Miles Turner, who will go on the perimeter and shoot threes. Precious Achiuwa, shorter, will get there and be able to handle that, while Mitchell Robinson has historically had problems with centers that actually wander away from the paint. Now, they will lose some rebounding prowess, but hey, the guy who's leading them in rebounding anyways is Josh Hart, who's certainly not 7 foot, so he does a good job. I think there's two irreplaceable players on the Knicks. You're going to laugh at me. So they've lost Julius Randle, and they've more than survived. They've thrived. They've lost Mitchell Robinson. They can't lose OG, and they can't lose Jaylen. Obviously, losing DiVincenzo and Hart will have an effect. It wouldn't be crippling. They'd probably lose the series, but they would not even be competitive without OG and without Jaylen,
right, particularly
Jaylen.
They don't have a replacement. They don't have anybody to be able to compensate. Now, Mitchell Robinson's a nice player. He's a good defender. They have bodies that can do similar things. You know, you don't lose a starter. You're losing depth. How many minutes does he play in anyway? And everybody wanted Achiuwa to play more. Now's a chance for him to play more.
But Michael, you said it. I will say this. This team is at a place where they have losing Mitchell Robinson does stink. He is valuable. But basically, any of their top five players, they lose one, and it's a major problem.
Yep. And he's not one of their top five players right now.
Right. See, he's outside of that. So I
because
mean,
a top five player, there's really not a replacement.
That's the thing. I mean, especially with the pace they're going to have to keep up, but no pun intended, with Indiana, they really can't afford. Honestly, you tell me they lose Hart or DiVincenzo. Yeah, you may not use the word crippling, but you also followed up by saying they won't win the series.
Right. But I don't think they'd be competitive without Jalen and without OG. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. I agree with you 100%. Jalen Brunson or OG Anunoby's out. All of a sudden, they're losing games by 12 points. They lose Dante or Josh Hart. They still lose the series, but they could still compete in the games. I think that's fair.
Yeah, you'd have to pluck somebody off the bench and say, okay, go play. And whether it be Jericho Sims or Burks or something like that, you'd force somebody who is, you know, pretty much nailed to the bench now to have to play. And they aren't bad players. And also, Tibbs makes a good point. And you see this in hockey, too, because, you know, Laviolette mentioned this. In playoff series, your rotation shortens dramatically. Because you're not, I mean, during the regular season, it's a marathon. So what you're doing is you're giving your top players a little bit of a blow. So you're playing lesser players, but where every possession counts and could actually impact whether you advance, you're not playing those players. You're right. Not playing those players that you don't have total trust in. So he's going to ride these players. Now, it did show up in the first game because the Pacers outscored the Knicks bench. What was it, 46-3, 36-3, something like that? That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to keep playing Josh Hart every single game, every single minute. You can't do it. And at some point, you hope it doesn't happen. But at some point, it's got to impact him. Yeah, he's not superhuman.
The thing is, Michael, is the more people you trust, the better chance you have to go far. Right. It's going to catch up with you. I don't think it will in this series. You know, maybe it will. I don't think it will. But in order to really win a championship, you've got to be in hockey. You got to roll your four lines. If you're playing half your players because you don't trust the other half, how far can you really go? So is it a lack of trust, or is it like, I just got to ride these hot hands? But at some point, you're going to have to get some more bodies in there. There's going to be other guys you're going to have to trust. You're playing every other night. And even if you are lucky enough to make short work of the Pacers, I'm sure the Celtics are going to do the same to the Cavaliers. So they're going to probably go into the next round if the Knicks are fortunate enough to advance with the same amount of rest. It's working now, but at some point it's going to be the reason why they don't win.
Now they could take, in my opinion, a stranglehold on the series by winning tonight. Now, what is the line tonight? Have we seen the latest line?
I'm going to tell you right now what it is, according to our dear friends over at ESPN Bet, who do a hell of a job. This would be, the New York Knicks are favored by 4.5 points tonight. 4.5, total 218.5.
I don't know if I would take the Knicks. I think it's going to be another. Every game they've played is close. You know, they won by 4 in game 1. The total difference in points in the first series is 1 point over 6 games. So not blowing anybody out.
Betting basketball, and with all due respect to the wonderful websites that we all endorse, betting basketball, man, I can't do it. Like, in football, you can basically know, not pretty often, oh, I got a game right. It's the third quarter. I know I picked this right. They're up 27-7.
Right.
Even if they score. Like, I'm in the NBA, 4.5 points, the Knicks could be up 10 the entire game and win by 2.
Yep.
Or by the same token, the Pacers could make you feel good for a full 47 minutes and lose by 6 points easily. So, like, I don't know how you even say. I hear you, though, Michael. I think that's it's a scary number to pick.
What's Brunson's over-under?
Ooh.
I have. I
you
have.
Know it?
I just wanted to know if you
guys.
Okay.
Say his over-under is 32.5.
I'm going over. I'm saying 36.5.
So you both should bet the under here because it's 37.5.
Wow. Holy crap.
Want to know the honest to God's truth?
What's it?
Honest to God's truth.
I want to hear nothing but the truth.
I was at 37. I was at 37.5, and then when Michael went low, he made me think, oh, I'm too high, and I came down.
So I led you down.
You've led me the wrong way.
But just
it has to be that high.
I wonder all the analytic mumbo jumbo. When we at ESPN put together all the players that are better or had a better first round than Jalen Brunson, have an over-under of 37.5 for a game.
Morons. Not right.
Morons. Now, I shouldn't say morons, because they're obviously very intelligent people. What's moronic is to think that what they're doing is important.
Well, some computer, some AI.
Well, no, because stop it, all right?
As I said earlier in the show, AI my butt.
I don't like it.
You don't like AI my butt?
I loved it.
No, I like that. I don't like AI.
If you're
like
wondering what we're talking about, it was this.
AI my butt. Well, it sounded just like what I said, Peter.
Yeah.
AI my butt. Let's go to Peter. Not this Peter. Peter in Manhattan. Not that Peter in Manhattan. This Peter in Manhattan.
Hi, Peter. Adam, and how are you? Just a few comments. They said in 1970, the Knicks won the championship. Clyde Frazier probably played the best game of his life. So that's a good news. Now, Mike, I don't know if I can agree with you 100%. I think... you know, the Knicks have minimum depth. I mean, they basically have seven players. Now with the injury, basically they're going to have six players playing. This may cost them, so I'm curious to see what happens today. I mean, Indiana's got the, you know, the greater depth, so
but
I'm
Peter, one thing,
today.
Let me stop you. Yeah, they were going with six, but they didn't play Achiuwa. So Achiuwa is now going to take the role of Mitchell Robinson. So it's still essentially
all
a seven-man rotation.
All right. And the other thing, you raise a good point with the players. I mean, what was the last time the players got suspended? The only way you get suspended is there's a fight and you leave the bench area. You know, just but beyond that, you know, the players today, they basically pick where they want to play for. I mean, take a look at, you know, Cape, you know, Durant, whatever. Yeah, you know, so if a player doesn't want to play for a team, he wants to play for another team, they let him go. So the whole thing... it's just ridiculous what these players do. So I don't remember the last time anybody got suspended.
Draymond.
And the players.
Draymond Green.
Yeah. That was how many years ago was that? Six, seven.
This year.
And
this year.
Well, but in the playoffs,
and
in the
basically
finals.
What he did compared to what these guys are doing was nothing. You know, it was like you know, it was meaningless.
No.
Pete, I mean,
Draymond Green, you know, swung an elbow at somebody. Now I think he was suspended the year before when he punched his teammate.
He's done a lot, the man.
But no sport is more driven by its stars than the NBA.
Yeah, but so what Peter just said, you know, if you go into the stands, that's essentially what Patrick Beverley did.
It's
essentially what he did.
He threw a ball at a fan, got the ball back, and then threw it again. So you're
and
creating
by the
a
way,
monster.
And by, you know what? How about you want a hot take? You want a hot take?
Yes.
Now, I understand the result of the melee was... worse, right? The Malice of the Palace. Right. I understand that the result was worse because it what it turned into. Ron Artest was significantly more justified in what he did than what Patrick Beverley did.
Yeah, because a fan came at him.
A fan threw a drink, launched a full drink onto Ron Artest.
He was still wrong.
Still
but,
wrong,
but more
I certainly
justified.
Get it.
Yeah.
More so than someone saying Cancun.
On three.
I mean, that was... he literally attacked someone over nothing.
Maybe they're just... you know, he's 35. Maybe they think he's going to retire and they don't have to have the blood on their hands. But make sure that if he decides to play next year, he's suspended for 2 months.
But what do you mean the blood on your hands? I see the exact opposite. If you're lucky enough that he retires... then you can get credit for suspending someone who's going to be gone anyway.
But
get
right
the credit.
You know, again, I don't want to treat players like children, but if they're going to act like children, they should be treated as such. You're emboldening them. If they know nothing is going to happen to them outside of a fine...
it's only going
to
get worse.
Then what do you think is going to happen down the road?
I don't know if you guys realize this, but major international soccer is coming to New York this summer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, FC Series and Soccer Champions Tour presents Manchester City and AC Milan at Yankee Stadium on July 27th. Enter for your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Scroll down to contest, submit your entry. Two grand prize winners will also receive either a Man City or AC Milan jersey.
Do it.
Watch some of the best teams in the world. Don't miss out. Get your tickets now at FCSeries.com. All right, we're going to take a brief timeout. The person that got hit with the basketball that was thrown by Patrick Beverley, Don, that person was in pain.
Oh,
that's right.
You're so good at what you do.
And if I knew that person, I'd say, friend, go see Dr. Jay Shah. He is a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let neck, back, joint, nerve pain, getting hit in the face with a basketball slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samuel Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free free. Same day and next day appointments available. Go to samuelpain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to samuelpain.com. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samuel Pain has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit samuelpain.com. You'll wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not giving you a pinstripe report today.
How could you not?
I don't know.
Sometimes things slip through my fingers.
And after that, I have something I have to ask you.
All right, this is brought to you by Bet365. Tommy Canley, who's been out since the start of the season, starting a rehab assignment at Single A Tampa. Yankee bullpen has the best ERA in all of baseball, but there are reinforcements on the way, which will make it only better. Nick Birdie is close. Tommy Canley's still a little bit away. Then you have Scott Efros, who might return in the middle of the season, and Lou Trevino as well. So the bullpen could get even better than it is right now. And I told you at the beginning of the season, that's something that the Yankees do very well. They put together a bullpen, and Boone and Blake do a good job employing it. That's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. What do you have for me, Peter?
I admit hindsight is 2020 here.
Maybe even 2015.
But I got to ask you, mm-hmm, if you felt how I did when I read the quotes from Aaron Hernandez's fiance about right, how hurt she was by the roast.
Right.
I got to tell you, in retrospect, Michael, I'm pretty surprised that former Patriots made the jokes. I get the comedians making the jokes. They don't have a connection to it. But I did sort of feel like, the Edelman joke about it, making specifically fun of the way that he died. It's one thing if you're a comedian who's a complete stranger. But, Michael, you know what I'm saying? If you're the family of that person, to hear the teammates make jokes about their death, which was only 7 years ago, I don't know, man.
Well, I hate to say it. It's on him. He did awful things.
Well, yeah, but that's not on his family.
Yeah, I get it. Well, you know what? Did Giselle do awful things?
No, well, by the way, Giselle's upset too.
Yeah, she's supposedly red hot.
Giselle's red hot too, but it's not. That's not literally death. Like, he has children who are now, like, of age to know what's going on.
That was the one thing that was off limits I read.
What?
You couldn't say anything about his kids.
About Brady's kids?
Yeah.
Well, all due respect, screw them. Aaron Hernandez's kids had to hear about it. They didn't do anything. They didn't make their father a murderer. Like, we do this thing in this country where if the person did something bad, then we don't have any care for anyone who even knew them, as if they were like, Don, like harboring a murderer the whole time.
Well, I mean, O.J. Simpson has children. He was made fun of all the time.
But by the way, yeah, but O.J.'s alive.
Or was.
He was. Sorry, O.J. was until 2 weeks ago. And by the way, I still find all the jokes that relate to Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman to be tasteless. But particularly if it was people who worked with the people specifically. I mean, I know it's a roast, but I'm sorry, you're not Jeff Ross, you're Julian Edelman.
Right. If a comedian does it, somebody on the outside, somebody that didn't know him personally, but a teammate, Michael?
That's tough, man.
It's...
You know what? But I've heard that they didn't like him when he was alive, and he wasn't a murderer.
I get it. I'm just saying, when I read the quotes from the... I'm just being honest. As a human being, when I heard the jokes, I kind of chuckled. And then when I read the quotes from this woman who, like, a few days before the roast had posted on Instagram on his birthday, you know, and is still kind of grieving, it was a reminder that even though he turned out to be this... really messed up person who obviously
a monster.
But we say those words. It's important. We use those words to then justify things that get said, and that doesn't make it okay for the people who did not ever commit a crime and knew him or loved him.
But here's the thing: is that all right? So you love him, and maybe he's your dad, or maybe he's your fiance. He was evil.
I mean, people make fun of Jeffrey Dahmer. He's got a parents.
So, I mean, I get it, but like, don't you kind of understand if you're a family member that like...
No, apparently not.
Well, I'm saying, he was pure evil.
But he's not pure evil, Don. That's what we say to make it easier for us.
Because
human beings aren't pure evil.
All right.
That's just
maybe I'm exaggerating, but the point is he was...
He's not
he
Michael
was a really,
Myers, but he's pure evil.
But he's a bad person.
Right.
And he did it to himself.
In more ways than one.
But I'm saying he put himself in that situation. He was a monster also to the people. His family were put through awful things because of him.
How about the guy he killed? How about his family?
But you guys are acting as if when this happens, the jokes are punishing Aaron Hernandez. They're not. It's just the people who already went through something worse than any of the players.
No one should ever be roasted because, again, you're saying that you know nobody's killed, but Gisele Bündchen was thrown into the fire. She didn't have any choice. Bridget Moynihan was thrown into the fire. She didn't have any choice.
And for the record, I feel bad for them, too. But guess what? You decided, if Michael, you want to say everything's equal? You guys decided to have kids with someone who obviously has no human feelings.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
Sorry.
She decided to be a fiancé with a guy who had no human feelings.
Yeah, but
you got to see that.
Aaron Hernandez didn't produce the damn special. It was a Tom Brady roast. It wasn't the roast of the Hernandez family.
Yeah, but I don't believe that you got a kick coming. You were married to this guy. Or you got engaged to this guy. He's a bad guy.
But she didn't know he was a murderer.
We don't know anything.
Have you? Well, I do. I listened to a 90-part documentary series about it. He clearly had mental problems. They got worse as the years went on. Many people think CTE related. Some people think other things. I'm not going full Dr. Loomis. He's pure. Michael's pure evil. I don't believe that. I think at some point he was probably a normal-ish
guy. They made fun of CTE. I mean, there's a lot of guys that... Families that lost
I don't think what I'm
CTE.
Saying. I don't think
I
what
mean,
I'm saying.
Junior Seau's family.
I guess here's the thing. I guess here's my line, Peter. Okay, because I see both sides of it. Comedian, strangers, who cares? It's up for grabs.
That's
even teammates. But I would have a difficult time if I were a teammate of Aaron Hernandez, and even if I thought he was a bad guy, would I be able to do it if I had met his family?
And by the way, I'm sure they did.
Right, so I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. Maybe they didn't like... I don't know. But
it
that's
tells
where
you they didn't like him, Don.
They didn't. You know what? Sometimes what am I doing? I can't convince you.
But can a family member sit there and go, listen, I still love my dad. I still love my fiance, even though he was a bad guy. But listen, I don't have a kick coming because he did the things that he did. So I guess we just have to live with it.
I guess you're forced to say that. But it would be, hey, we already went through an unimaginable pain. We've gone through an unimaginable pain. We had to find out that this person that we love turned out to be a monster. Then we had to lose him because he died. All of those things already happened to us. Do I not have to deal with the damn live roast because non-comedians who knew my dad are making fun of specifically the way that he took his own life? I think that's a reasonable thing to ask for. That's all. And by the way, Brady is a lunatic. The fact that this wasn't like cleared with Giselle in any way, if these stories that you're reading in the Post are true, and that she was completely blindsided, that's a bad job.
All right, so then, but if you're Brady, right, and again, I don't know if any of this is true, and the whole thing with the jiu-jitsu instructor took place and she was cheating on him, he's not going to clear anything with her.
Yeah, but if, first of all, that's only one piece of the story if that's true.
Right.
And second of all, even if that happened, which is not what you want, it's still the mother of your children.
But the thing is, and that's why I hope it was performative, with all that that's on the table, he gets up and gets upset because something was said about Orchids of Asia for his former owner.
That's an
owner.
Awful
like,
look.
That's the line
that.
Across. Right, so listen, if it was performative and it was all part of the act, then fine.
But, I don't think it
but
was.
But of all the things that happened, that offended you. It's like, all right, what's going on?
I know that you're, I mean, wasn't Kraft even single at the time? Was Kraft even cheating?
Of course, he's a widow.
Yeah, he was a single man at the time who went to an R&T. It wasn't that big a deal.
What's an R&D?
R&T.
Come on.
You can figure it out, man. But that made you go, hey, you keep your mouth shut. But like your children are now of an age to understand what's going on. And their mother is being, our character is just being assassinated on national television. And you just sit there like, I don't know, is she from Spain? I'm not sure. I'm telling you, man. Tom Brady's an interesting dude. That's an interesting dude. Remember, because before there was ever rumors about the jiu-jitsu guy, the rumors that everyone had heard initially was just Brady was basically getting asked to choose between football and his family, and he chose football. And in the words of Don't Have a Kid Coming, if your wife has told you over multiple years, hey, you're 40, can you stop playing football? Hey, you're 41. Can you stop playing football? Hey, you're 42. Can you please stop playing football? And on the 43rd one, you find out she's having an affair with a jiu-jitsu instructor. In the words of Michael Kay, you don't have a kick coming either.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Staten Island. Marky.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Bud. So on the Jamal Murray thing, I think you guys are completely correct with how the NBA cherry picks it. You know, Don, you were talking about Draymond Green. You didn't understand it. They were up 3-1 against LeBron in the finals. I'm kind of interested to see if they were like down 3-1 to LeBron in the finals if he would have been suspended. I think they purposely suspended Draymond for that point. And the Jamal Murray, the only thing I can say is that he wasn't technically like playing at the time, so maybe they can fall back on that he was like watching the game, so they can't suspend him for that, so they're going to just
If he was on the bench not playing, he could throw a hand grenade on the court? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
I agree with everything you guys said, but I'm just saying maybe that's what they'll fall back on, is that he wasn't actually playing in the game, so they can't suspend him, but I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, and you're making good points, except Embiid was on the floor playing when he grabbed Mitchell Robinson. And that might have been the injury that knocked Mitchell. That's what Mitchell Robinson
I thought it was the other leg.
No, he grabbed both of his legs.
I thought the day after when people were showing the play where he ended up leaving the game, it was after another play to the leg that wasn't as grabbed, but I could be wrong.
Let's go to Tom in Yorktown. Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Long time getting here, so I really appreciate it.
Well,
very
thanks for holding, buddy.
You know, I have a question. I have something for Peter, but right before that, Michael, Beverly threw it up ball twice.
Who did? Yeah, I know. Oh, twice. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then you see what happened at the Pulse game?
Of course. Yep. We saw that too.
Yes, for Dallas, he unbelievable.
Terrible.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, Peter, yesterday you made a comment, nothing really bad, that Indy probably felt good after the game because Halliburton only had 6 points, and they only lost by 4. Well, Coach Pye has a totally different take on it. We had 15 turnovers, resulting in 22 points for them. Now, some of them, granted, are due for Indy's pace, but a lot of them were stupid turnovers. Not seeing who's behind you, and Thibodeau brought that up during the huddle. Cross-court passes, not hitting the guy on the open, going down all the way. They were stupid. I was going crazy in his house. I'm slamming doors, kicking dog toys. You know, I got a wristband for arthritis with Velcro on it, and I'm opening and shutting this thing just like Nomar Garcia-Parra doing when he's at the plate. I was getting so ticked off. I said to my two sons, there's no way we're going to win this game. We're playing so messy. And guess what? We won.
That's right.
Even Tibbs at the post game said, we have to clean up this mess. And I tell you right now, you're not going to get two sloppy games from the Knicks, not after Tibbs talks to those people. Tonight, Michael, 4.5, double that. Oh. It's going to be an easy win for the Knicks tonight. They're going to play straight. They're going to play smart. And this is victory is done. Thank you.
Well, I hope we hear from you tomorrow if you're wrong. Because he seemed that sounded guarantee-ish. I listen, Michael, if I'm the Pacers, I feel like, hey, all right, I lost a close game on the road. I just want to get the split. I don't feel like I've got no shot tonight if I'm the Pacers. Do you?
No way. No way. Of course they think they have a shot. That's crazy talk. Is it going to be a blowout? I'd be stunned if it's a blowout. I'm not going to be stunned if the Knicks win. I think the Knicks will win. But it could be by 3 points.
Well, when exactly are the Knicks blowing anybody out in these playoffs?
They don't blow people out. That's not the team they are. That's why it's not an 8-point spread. It's 4.5.
Yeah.
Let's go to Reggie in Harlem. What's up, Reg?
Hey, fellas. I just want to touch on Aaron Hernandez. I think his fiance was really upset because, you know, their daughter's 11 years old now. You know, and she has to hear this. And so I think that's the reason why, you know, she was very sensitive. I mean, she'll be sensitive, period, on, you know, he's not here no more. And as far as him being an evil teammate and they didn't speak to him, I bet you they wasn't making no jokes around him when they was playing with him. And they wouldn't have made no jokes around him if he was still alive, even if he was in jail. And then,
right.
As far as the Knicks and as far as the NBA, now remember, with Draymond Green suspending him game 5 in the middle of the finals, and that was Kiki Vandeweghe that suspended him. So who's in Kiki Vandeweghe's role under Adam Silver? Being that Adam Silver doesn't want to do nothing about it. So who's in Kiki Vandeweghe's role now under Adam Silver to make the call, being that Adam Silver doesn't want to do nothing?
I think it's Joe Dumars.
It's Joe.
Wow.
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's Joe Dumars. You know what we should do, Anthony? We should get Joe Dumars on tomorrow.
He's a great guest.
Because he's a great guest and he likes the show.
Good. And loves the Yankees.
Well, the combination should get him on then.
Well, that's very
good.
You know
what I'm saying?
I think that's good stuff by you. By the way, people are just...
Oh, no.
This is the thing about society and why
tell us about society, Peter. I always want you to tell me.
Well, no, why we're hopeless. Like, the three of us can all disagree. But I think both of you would agree in our argument we just had. At no point was I defending Aaron Hernandez. I'm literally getting tweets from people telling me you're defending a murderer. No, I was saying I understand the feelings of his family. Defending a murderer? That's not what happened.
And I also, I can't get into the mind of the family. But I don't think his fiance is defending his actions either.
No!
It's just... Hey guys, we're here. We have to live with this.
That's it.
I don't want to have to hear it.
That's it. And by the way, if you actually paid attention, I wasn't even saying I objected to like Nikki Glaser making jokes about it, but Julian Edelman making a bad joke about Rob Gronkowski not being the only tight end who was hung. I think you could have left that alone.
Well, Brady, his big line was, you know, everybody says Gronkowski's so great, but the bar was low for New England Patriot tight ends. You have to catch the ball and not murder people.
By the way, that's better though. I know that's a tricky line. It's a little bit better than making the specific joke about hanging yourself. That to me is probably what was like twisting the knife of being extra insulting.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
I don't think that it's going to be a crippling blow. It's not on the same level as losing Julius Randle, which the Knicks absorb. But the Knicks spent most of the season playing without Mitchell Robinson. So although this is a terrible, terrible injury for Mitchell, I don't think this is going to really hurt them in this series. They lose this series. It's not going to be because Mitchell Robinson didn't play. I'm up 2-1.
I don't care for that.
Yeah, no.
It was a big
show. Are you okay with that, Don?
No, it was a pedestrian opinion at
best. You know it.
You know that.
AI, listen, my butt.
No, you could have deserved it for a lot of other things. You had a very strong day. We all had a very strong day.
I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel good about it at all. Congratulations, Michael. In some way, you probably deserved it, but not for that.
Well, okay.
It's a makeup call of some sort.
They don't make up anything. Let's go to Mark in Brooklyn.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Good. Good.
Get in and talk to you guys. So I just wanted to talk about that jersey discussion. I'm in my 30s now. I've been a long, you know, lifetime fan of the Yankees. I watch all the broadcasts now when I can. My dad really, you know, he's Eastern European. I'm first generation. He bought me a Giambi jersey when I was in elementary school, and I loved Giambi as a kid. And it has his name on the back. Now, my caveat for this is if it's a retired number, I believe there's no world in which it should have a name on, you know. But in a situation like this, like, I still wear my jersey with Giambi in the 25 because, to be honest, I'm not a big Glaber fan. I don't want people to think that it's a Glaber jersey, and I'm glad that it has Giambi on there in that sense.
Okay,
you know?
I have a couple of questions. You're wearing the same jersey you got in elementary school when you're 30?
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I hit puberty real quick, Michael. I haven't grown since sixth grade.
Well, here's my point. I understand you don't want people to think you like Glaber and you like Giambi.
God forbid.
Well, those blue pullovers with the number, you could put, you know, the batting practice, or the T-shirt. But the Yankee uniform doesn't have a name on it, Mark.
Yeah, that's what's so weird, Mark. I mean, you sound like a diehard fan. You watch every game, so you know not having the name on the back is a thing.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know if it's like the significance. Maybe I'm just holding on to the fact that, you know, I got it when I was younger or something. I just really
If you said to me, Mark, you know, it's something my dad gave me, then okay, I'm fine with it. But you're choosing to say, well, I don't like Glaber, and I don't want people to think I like Glaber, so I want them to think I like Giambi.
But even that,
I guess,
like,
it's like,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Mark.
I guess I would say that's like a plus of it. That's why
I hear you. I'm just saying that if I were you, I wouldn't want to do it because I wouldn't want to look like I'm a yo-yo fan that doesn't understand the history of the team. That's the way it feels to me, guys. Is when you wear a jersey to a game that's got the name on the back, it's as if you don't get it.
And you get it.
And we know you get it, so why are you doing it? All right, if your dad gave it to you, great memory. All right, put it in a frame, hang it up. Try to get Giambi to sign it. I'm not telling you to throw it away. But when you wear it out in public, it almost is like as if it's a sign that says, I really don't understand the history of this team. Do you really want people to think that? Especially if you do get it. If you do get the history of the team and why they don't have a name on the back, and you're a diehard fan that watches every game, why would you want people to think otherwise?
I actually like one thing that he said, though, Don. He doesn't understand it with any retired numbers.
Yeah, well, that makes no sense, because if you're wearing a 7, do you really have to put Mantle over it? Honestly.
So there's certain numbers. Rick Pitino thinks so.
Well, you know what? I do like Rick, and he's a great coach. When it comes to baseball, he's absolutely, positively lost.
Let's go to Evan in Hoboken. Evan.
Hey, guys. It's a tremendous show because despite everything going on in New York sports, here I am calling in about Aaron Hernandez. Captivating, really captivating.
Oh, thank you.
But Pete, I agree with you. If you're going to go dark humor, it's got to be funny. If you want an example, just YouTube Norm McDonald's O.J. Simpson.
Yep, I know. I know it well. Yep, agree.
But the quote on TMZ was, she's ashamed that her kids have to grow up in such a cruel world, which is just a little ironic. I don't know. Anyway, love the show. Let's go Knicks.
Yeah, what Evan's saying, I mean, I can't put words into his mouth. You know, the kids of a father who was not a good man. They have to know that, whether there was a roast or not, Peter. They have to know that. There's the internet. All they have to do is look up their father.
Well, they know that their father did terrible things. It doesn't mean that you'd want to hear people make light of it. They made light. It's the making light of the way that he died from people that knew him that I could see. They already have to go through the fact that every time they say, hi, I'm so-and-so Hernandez, and they go, oh, my dad used to play football, that people start looking at each other like, oh, boy. They already have to deal with that. Do they really need Julian Edelman making a bad joke on national TV? That's all I'm saying.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.